Good evening and welcome to Pro Yaku This Week. I'm Michael Westphal, your host, and this is the week of October 20th through 26th. Time is 9 o'clock p.m. Japan Standard Time on October 27th, 2008. First up this week, we're going to do a Climax Series wrap-up. The Pacific League, starting a week earlier, ended their Climax Series on Tuesday with Wakui shutting out the Fighters 9-0. As a matter of fact, the Fighters' first base runner of the game was Inaba, singling to left with two down in the top of the seventh inning. In all, Wakui threw just 104 pitches, allowing three hits, striking out seven, and not giving up any walks. Also, as a side note, that hit by Inaba was his only hit in the series. Inaba, as many of you know, was the Fighters MVP a couple of years ago in the Nippon Series. Really a comeback year for him after being released by the Swallows because he wanted to try for the majors, but no major league team took him, so the Fighters did. He really did an amazing job then. This series, though, that one hit that broke up the perfect game with two down in the seventh. And also on the other side of the diamond, Glenn started against Wakui for the second time in this series, whereas Glenn gave up 10 runs in 3-plus innings the first time around. He gave up 5 runs in 2 2/3 innings this time. With a 7-14 record in 25 starts and a 3.64 ERA on the year, Glenn's year did not end well with these postseason blowouts. And speaking of Glenn, someone had asked me recently about his contract status. Well, he's just completed the second year of his two-year deal with Nippon Ham. On his way back home on Friday, reporters asked him about next season. He said that he'd like to continue pitching in Hokkaido with the same goals. But when asked if he'd accept a pay decrease, what with the serious drop in wins and a rise of ERA compared to 2007, Glenn commented that negotiations would be starting soon and it all depended on the conditions. Nikon Sports then broadly interpreted this as meaning that he wouldn't take a pay cut and would not be returning to the Fighters next season. Now, this is one of those places where Nikon Sports is doing a lot of speculation and reading into what he said. From everything that I've seen, Glenn has enjoyed his time in Hokkaido. Yes, his numbers went down. Yes, he's probably not going to make as much next year as he did this year. But overall, he has been a very important part of the team. I think that with the right incentives, he may stay. Or, you know, if he does get a better offer in the majors, that's always an option too. Nonetheless, the Lions hit .294 during the Climax Series. The Fighters came in at .233 in both stages, and the Buffaloes .242. In just two games. The Lions hit 6 homers compared to the Fighters 6, of which 2 were against Oryx, and the Buffaloes were homerless. The Lions scored a total of 32 runs, the Fighters 30, 11 of which were against the Buffaloes, and the Buffaloes were only able to score 3. In pitching, the Lions pitchers had a 3.00 ERA. The Fighters were up there at 4.95, and the Buffaloes a big 5.00. The Lions struck out 47 Fighters. The Fighters struck out 43 combined Lions and Buffaloes, and the Buffaloes pitchers combined for only 7 strikeouts. For the past few years, the Fighters have relied on their pitching to win games, while their offense has had a tendency to not show up for a number of games. With this final loss for the season, and a league worst batting average, home runs, and runs scored triple crown, Hirano batting coach has been released. This news follows one day after Hirosawa batting coach for the Tigers turned in his resignation for Hanshin's inability to hit after peaking in June. Nonetheless, with the shutout on Wednesday, the Saitama Seibu Lions advance to the Nippon Series starting November 1st. On to the Central League. Meanwhile, Central League started Stage 2 of the Climax Series this past week after Hanshin was eliminated by Wood's solo home run at the hands of Fujikawa on Monday. Please see last week's ProYaki This Week for details on that. On Wednesday, it was a ninth inning two-out rally capped off by a battle of wills between Kroon and Nakamura, tied 3-3, strikeouts to Araki and Woods with a walk. Tied 3-3, strikeouts to Araki and Woods with a walk to Morino in the middle. And a base hit to center by Wada set the stage. Nori then battled off a number of pitches before singling up the middle, scoring Wada from second to take a 4-3 lead. And that was enough for Iwase to close out the Giants in order for Chunichi to take game number one. However, that was pretty much the bright spot of the 2008 Climax Series for the Dragons. The Giants then went on to dominate most of the remaining games. The Giants' Uehara had an easy time of the Dragons on Thursday, October 23rd, downing them 11-2. With a 5-4 lead in the ninth on Friday, Kroon hit Nakamura in the hands after the start of another good battle between the two players. Nobody thinks that Kroon did this on purpose after Nori's painful hit two nights before, but Harakantoku wasn't taking any chances with a slightly uncontrolled Kroon, and he brought in Yamaguchi instead after just the one batter. Against Yamaguchi, though, Ibata sacrificed pinch runner Hidenori to second before a game-tying double to right center by Tanishige. That tied the game up at 5-5, which eventually, after 12 innings, became the final. Now that tie immediately set off the English language blogosphere with flames about allowing tied games in a playoff series. Those that could tolerate regular season ties just couldn't believe that a tie could be allowed for a short series. Well, at least they didn't use the Olympic tiebreaker rule. Instead, the rule is that if the series ends with both teams having the same number of wins, such as a 3-3 tie, which was very much possible after this, that the team with the higher rank in the regular season advances to the Nippon Series. So for the Giants, a tie is basically as good as a win, as just one more win will guarantee their Nippon Series berth. And the Giants didn't make us wait long. They defeated the Dragons for the third time in a row, or actually for the second time with a tie, on Saturday, this time by a score of 6-2. The Giants scored two off of Chin in the fourth inning on three hits and a dead ball off of Oga Sawada's chest to start the scoring. Chunichi answered with a solo shot by Woods in the sixth, then a sacrifice fly by Woods in the eighth to tie the game up at 2 apiece. But that didn't last long. The Giants struck back with 4 in the 8th when Takahashi allowed a double to Terauchi, who came in defensively for Ogasawara. A two-run home run to Nami-chan. Then he walked two in a row before getting replaced by Nagamine. But Nagamine allowed one of the runners across while getting two outs before turning the ball over to Kobayashi, who allowed another run across before closing the door. Kroon comes in and, while allowing one walk, shuts the Dragons down, and the Giants win 6-2 to move on to the Nippon Series and face the Saitama Seibu Lions starting November 1st. The Giants hit a whopping 301 in the series, scoring 25 runs and hitting 8 home runs. Chunichi, on the other hand, hit a measly 205 over the two stages, scoring 20 runs, 7 of them against Hanshin, and hitting 11 home runs, 4 of which were against Hanshin. The Tigers hit 216, scoring just 7 runs while hitting 2 homers. On the pitching side, the Giants' team ERA was 277, while they struck out 39 Dragons. The Chunichi Hurlers threw a very poor 4.57 ERA, while striking out 46, 19 of them Tigers. And Hanshin had a better 233 ERA while striking out 17, but ended up in defeat. So, how about a Nippon Series preview? The last time that the Lions made it to the Nippon Series to face the Yomiuri Giants was in 2002, when the Giants rolled right over the Lions 4-0. That was the last time that the Giants had been to the Nippon Series, so they'll be trying to continue their winning streak. The Lions, though, had returned to the Nippon Series in 2004, the first year of the playoff system in the Pacific League, and they took 4 games out of 7 against the Chunichi Dragons to become Nippon Ichi. They'll be looking to repeat that performance. According to Wikipedia's Japan Series, and backed up by the yearly baseball magazine's record books, the Giants are 20-10 in the Nippon Series, including winning it 9 times in a row between 1965 and 1973, an era of pro Yaku history often referred to merely as the V9 era. The Lions are the second most winningest franchise, 12-8, the bulk of their wins coming since the team moved to Tokorozawa in 1979. Between 1982 and 1992, the Seibu Lions won 8 out of 9 Nippon Series entries, only not reaching the Nippon Series twice in the 11-year span. In fact, last season was the first one since 1982 that the Lions failed to finish in the top 3 in the Pacific League. The team on the field this year, though, didn't seem to have anything related to the 2007 fifth place finishing Lions. In fact, neither of these teams look like their 2002 selves. Here were the starting lineups for the game for Game 1 in 2002. For the Seibu Lions, number 1, playing shortstop, Kazuo Matsui, now in the MLB. Batting second, right fielder Ozeki, now with Yokohama. Batting third, center fielder Miyagi, since retired. Number 4, first baseman Alex Cabrera, now with the Oryx Buffaloes. Number 5, left fielder Wada, now with Chunichi. Number 6, third baseman, Hedo. He's still with the Lions, but this year primarily being used as a pinch hitter and utility infielder, only playing in 25 games. Number 7, pitcher, Matsuzaka. Matsuzaka now in the major leagues. Number 8, catcher, Ito. Ito, since then, took over as a playing manager and catcher, and was retired as manager last year, Nabekiu coming in to manage in his place. Number 9, second baseman, Hiroyuki Takagi. Takagi played in just one game for the Lions this past year, his retirement game. For the Yomiuri Giants, leading off, playing left field, Shimizu. Shimizu is still with the Giants. He only appeared in 41 games this season, mainly as a pinch hitter, and occasionally as a defensive replacement in left. Number 2, shortstop, Nioka. Nioka has pretty much been sent to third base and mostly as a late game replacement. Number 3, right fielder, Takahashi Yoshinobu. Yoshinobu played in 91 games for the Giants this year, off and out with an injury. Number 4, center fielder, Hideki Matsui. Matsui is now in Major League Baseball. Number 5, first baseman, Kiyohara. Kiyohara, this year, actually played some and retired with Oryx. Number 6, catcher, Abe. Catcher has been the Giants. Abe has been the Giants' main catcher this season. Number 7, third baseman, Eto. Eto, after leaving Hiroshima, joined the Giants, and the Giants dumped him a couple years ago, after which he's gone on to Cebu, with whom the Giants are playing in this Nippon series. Number 8, second baseman, Nishi. Nishi is now with Yokohama. Number 9, pitcher, Uehara. Uehara is a pitcher for the Giants again this year. And please don't ask me why Ihara Kantoku, or please don't ask me what Ihara Kantoku was thinking putting Matsuzaka in the number 7 slot. Nonetheless, Takahashi, Abe, and Uehara, while they haven't been injured, are the only regulars remaining from both teams that are still there. That makes it kind of hard to look at the past to see how these two teams will do this coming weekend. So now for a Nippon Series Uranai. Uranai is Japanese for fortune telling. So, what can we expect? I'd say a lot of fireworks. Both teams have home run hitting power to spare. Good pitching can win, but bad pitching will see the score quickly get out of control. I think that the first team to open up a 3-run lead in any game will run away with that game. But it's no guarantee of running away with the series. A skunk one night may result or may turn into being skunked the next night. And I'm finding it very difficult to decide which team will come out on top. It seems like the chemistry of all that bot talent that the Giants have gathered works. On the other hand, the Lions have a young, hungry team with strong replacements for when any player goes down. Good depth. I want to say that it's hired veterans versus young guns, but the Giants do actually have some young homegrown talent on the field this year. I want to say I favor the Lions in this one, but those veteran pitchers and bats really stand out on the Giants. I want to say Lions in six, but fear that it will be Giants in five. In other words, this one could go either way. Maybe you're better off waiting for the Tsubame Gundan to make their predictions, although they may be just a wee bit biased. Moving on. Brown Kantoku will be rejoining the Carp for 2009. Ken D, who had asked about Brown Kantoku last week, sent in this report on what's been happening over the past week. The long, strange ordeal towards a new managerial contract finally ended for Marty Brown on Saturday. Brown, the three-season skipper for the Hiroshima Toyo Carp, narrowly missed guiding his Charges to a Climax Series berth this year. When the Carp season ended on October 6th, Matsuda owner assured the media that despite missing the playoffs and missing a 500 record, Brown Kantoku would be back. Left in limbo for nearly 3 weeks, though, at times, it seemed uncertain if Brown would, in fact, be back. First, there was talk of a list of 11 demands that Brown's agent forwarded to Hiroshima's front office, angering them greatly. Talk of plans to hire a backup if a contract could not be reached soon followed. The two sides went back and forth, each not seemingly wanting to blink. Yet, there was a feeling that the relationship was a healthy one despite all of the posturing. Fast forward to this past week, when news of a breakthrough was announced. Brown decided to rescind some of his more curious demands, while Hiroshima made concessions on terms of the contract. It all culminated in a very public signing ceremony staged in front of cameras in the Carp's home office. From what we were able to gather, Brown will be paid a similar rate to last season, about $400,000 US, with a 2010 option that will automatically vest if an A-class, that is top three, finish for the Carp happens next year. The 2010 option would also increase Marty's salary by 50% to around $600,000 US. There are also reported bonuses based on team performance included in the contract that were not made public. As we see it, it's a win-win situation for both sides. Matsuda owner gets to keep a popular manager whom he is fond of, while Brown Kantoku gets to lead his team in a brand new stadium next season, which in itself should attract a lot of fans to his club. Just a day after the contract was signed, Brown Kantoku was on his way to autumn camp near Miyazaki in order to ready his squad for the task ahead. There is a website showing the construction of the new stadium at shinkyujo.net. While the text is in Japanese, I don't think that anyone will have any trouble with following the photos regarding the new stadium's progress. And finally, Jim Nelson sends in a Sadahara O career retrospective. Jim Nelson can also be read on the SoftBank Source blog on JapaneseBaseball.com/blogs. With the retirement of Okantoku, I found it appropriate to do a retrospective on his career. Even though I'm sure it's been done by pretty much every news outlet in Japan, it has. However, it wouldn't be a pro-yaku show if we didn't talk about Okantoku's retirement. When the name Sadaharu O is mentioned, any self-respecting pro-yaku fan would know O's career numbers. 868 career home runs, 301 career batting average, 2,170 career RBIs. Like so many other Japanese greats, he went from Koshien hero to NPB superstar. Like so many other Japanese greats, he went from Koshien hero to NPB superstar. However, there are a great many accomplishments that can be added to O's illustrious playing career. 9 League Most Valuable Player Awards, 5 times a batting champion, and led the league in hits 3 times. O, together with Shigeo Nagashima, formed the ON Cannon, possibly the most feared two-headed monster in baseball history. After his retirement in 1980, O left the Yomiuri limelight for a few years. In 1984, the Giants brought him back to manage the team. He could not quite capture the same magic he could as a player, when he won 11 Japan Series titles in a row, with a 347 and 264 record and 39 ties. As manager of Yomiuri, he made only one appearance in the Japan Series, that in 1987, losing 4-2 in the series to the Cebu Lions. After the 1988 season, O left baseball. After the 1988 season, O left baseball and was not part of the Giants organization for the first time since he was drafted in 1959. Many thought that O would not resurface and that he was officially retired for good. However, in 1995, the Fukuoka Daiei Hawks came calling. They were in desperate need of a front office overhaul. The Hawks were in dire straits. The team had not posted a winning season in what seemed like forever, and the Hawks were currently very unpopular because Daiei moved the team from Osaka to Fukuoka, making the Hawks the southernmost team in Japan. With O's hiring and a new front office, the Hawks were looking to finally break into A-class in the Pacific League. Well, it didn't happen overnight, and one particularly infamous moment was when O and his team were pelted with rotten eggs during a visit to Osaka in 95. However, good drafts, free agent signing, and trades culminated in the Hawks becoming contenders at last in 1998. No doubt the acquisition of current manager Koji Akiyama as a free agent from the Cebu Lions helped the team, as did other Cebu deserters like Ishige and pitcher Kimiyasu Kudo. In 1999, it all came together for O and Daiei. Despite the aging of the team, and also having only one batter hit above 300 for the season, catcher Kenji Jojima, the Hawks won with superior pitching and defense. Future major leaguers Jojima and Tadahito Iguchi, future Giant and Bay star Kudo, he was a former Lion as well, and also foreign closer Rodney Pedraza, all helped the Hawks return to greatness, and that to the greatness that had so long eluded them, defeating the Chunichi Dragons in the Japan Series. The doubters around O as to whether he could lead a team to a Japan Series championship were also silenced. Unlike in his Yomiuri years, where he was given the tools to succeed but never could, the Hawks were O's project. He helped build the 1999 team from the ground up, but there was more greatness awaiting him in the years to come. O had the same cast return for next season, but on the other side of the 2000 Japan Series was his old teammate, Shigeo Nagashima. The press hyped up what came to be known as the O-N Series, and it was an epic battle. The 2000 Japan Series may have been O's second loss, but the groundwork for today's Hawks were laid in both the 1999 and 2000 series. The O-N series saw the big stage debut of future super ace Kazumi Saito and the young hitters such as Nobuhiko Matsunaka, Hiroki Kokubo, and Hiroshi Shibahara, who would all be on the team for years to come. After two down years, in 2001 and 2002, if you could call it those, O led his Hawks back to the Japan Series in 2003 with possibly the most potent offense ever seen in NPB history. O had an exceedingly young starting rotation to work with, and some young sluggers and new faces coming into their own. Saito, Nagisa Arakaki, Tsuyoshi Wada, Toshiya Sugiuchi, and Hayato Terahara all were in the rotation, and while they had their moments, all stepped up when needed to. However, the offense was where the Hawks made a name for themselves. Seven batters hit above 290 that year, including future super shortstop Munenori Kawasaki, Matsunaka, Iguchi, Jojima, Shibahara, and Pedro Valdez. It took seven games, but O and the Hawks dispatched Senichi Hoshino and the Hanshin Tigers. O had made it to King of the Mountain again, but he would not see the top again in his managerial career. In both 2004 and 2005, O had great teams again, and he even saw the Hawks change ownership with SoftBank buying the team in 2005 from Daiei. However, unlike SoftBank stocks, O and the team gave diminishing returns, and O had diminished health-wise. In 2006, after leading Team Japan to the inaugural World Baseball Classic title, O's health hit rock bottom. He took an extended leave of absence from the team due to stomach cancer, the same disease that had taken his wife, Kyoko, from him only a few years earlier. Since then, O's health has been a major issue, and it bothered him enough that he contemplated going back into retirement in 2007 and 2008. Despite having good teams, it seemed that O wasn't at his usual pre-cancer best, and saw a disappointing third-place finish in 2007. This year, with his retirement a constant question, the Hawks bottomed out, finishing dead last in the Pacific League. Just like that, O's tenure as SoftBank Hawks manager had come full circle. His final record as Hawks manager was 968-854 with 35 ties. His final managerial record between the Hawks and Giants in 2,507 games was 1,315 wins, 1,118 losses, and 74 ties for a 540 winning percentage, and two Japan Series championships in four appearances. We were a little long this week, going about 35 minutes, and we're going to call that a wrap for the night. I'd like to thank you all for joining me this evening, live and via podcast. Proyaki This Week is a production of JapaneseBaseball.com and is distributed under the Creative Commons license. You may copy, redistribute, and or rebroadcast in whole or in part in any way you wish, provided you give credit to JapaneseBaseball.com. This is Michael Westbay, your host, wishing you a good one. Take care.